Have you ever experienced the loss of someone not being in your life anymore who used to help you and teach you and show you how to do things? I can read, we can all read. It's one thing to read a book that tells you how to do something. It's a lot easier when someone shows you, especially if you've ever gotten those instructions on how to build things from IKEA, utterly useless. But when you can get a video, or better yet, someone in person to show you how to do it, it's a lot easier to learn. Remember when I went off to college, I had to start washing clothes by myself without mom's help, and I may or may not have put red clothes with my white socks and t-shirts. When there's someone there to show you and guide you, it's so much easier to learn and to imitate. But when you feel like you have to do it on your own, even though someone has taught you, you're gonna make your mistakes. It's not as easy. It's a lot harder. And today we celebrate the Feast of the Ascension of the Lord, and we recall that Christ left the apostles, body and soul, after the resurrection. A lot of people incorrectly understand that the resurrection is Jesus going to heaven, and that is not true. If you read the scriptures, it's very clear. Christ's resurrection is from the dead back to earth. And his resurrection from the dead is a physical reality, which Luke, in his Acts of the Apostles, goes through great pains to demonstrate, as well as the evangelists, the authors of the gospel, showing Jesus appearing miraculously in a room where the doors are locked, yet at the same time having the visible scars of his crucifixion on his hands, feet, and side, while eating fish in their presence, telling them he's hungry. It's very clear the authors are going through great lengths to show that the resurrection of Jesus from the dead back to earth isn't a spiritual reality alone. It's not just a vision or a ghost. It's truly him physically raised from the dead. Thomas, stop doubting. Put your hand in my side, your finger in my hand, and believe. Right? He's physically showing I am risen from the dead. And then he spends 40 days with the apostles explaining the scriptures to them. The Hebrew scriptures, of course. There's no New Testament written at this point. And this is what Luke is talking about in the Acts of the Apostles in today's first reading. In the first book, Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught. So Luke wrote the Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles as one book, with the division being from when Christ rose from the dead and ascended to the Father, and then now the second part being the story of the early church. And this is the division where the church decided later on to separate Luke and create Acts of the Apostles from the one book that Luke wrote. And Theophilus, the word literally means lover of God, right? It's a name, it's a formal name, but it literally means lover of God. In the first book, lover of God, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up, the ascension, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he has chosen. And now, he wants to recount the life of the early church going forward. So Christ is with the apostles for 40 days. Think about the emotional roller coaster. First, he's crucified and they're utterly devastated. Then 3 days later, it's announced he's risen from the dead and they're elated, only to have him 40 days later leave them. Lord, where are you going? Right? You know the way. No, we don't know the way, Thomas said, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is going to the right hand of the Father, body and soul, to complete the work the Father had given him. I am sending you the eternal word into the world as man, as well as God. You will redeem the world by your innocent sacrifice for the sake of sinners. And when you have risen from the dead, you will come back to me and reign at my right hand. Well, Jesus, if you're leaving, what are we going to do? Right? You taught us and explained the scriptures to us for these 40 days. You gave us the example of your life and the miracles you worked, and we too performed miracles in your name for the 3 years that you ministered. But now you're leaving us. What are we supposed to do now? How are we supposed to continue this? And Jesus tells them, remain in Jerusalem. Do not depart, but wait for the promise of the Father about which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So the apostles, as the scriptures recount, literally out of fear for the Jews, hid in this upper room, but prayed for 10 days, waiting for the Holy Spirit, until the Holy Spirit descended upon them that is the gift of Pentecost, right? They descended upon him, as the Acts of the Apostles tell us, like tongues of fire over their heads. That's why bishops wear the mitre, the hat. The hat symbolizes a tongue of fire, because they're successors to the apostles. Yesterday, we had our confirmations here at the 5:30 Mass, and the Archbishop delegated me in his name to confirm about 27 peoples, mostly young children, with the sacrament of confirmation. Of course, I don't wear a mitre, I'm not a bishop, but delegated by him, they receive the gift of confirmation, the sacrament that is Pentecost. We as a church will renew that gift of the Holy Spirit coming down upon us. A week from today, my first Mass, newly ordained 21 years ago, as a newly ordained priest, was the Feast of Pentecost. I was ordained a priest on the Feast of St. Matthias, May 14th, and that year, May 15th, was Pentecost. And so the point of Christ telling them, wait and pray, is because God desired that from Christ's ascension into heaven until he returns one day in glory and power, the day we do not know, the Holy Spirit, who is God, is supposed to guide us in all things, to lead us. But for many of us, we really struggle to trust and believe and worship God the Holy Spirit. You know prayers to God the Father, our Father who art in heaven. You know devotions to Jesus, to prayers to Jesus, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, etc. But how often do you pray to the Holy Spirit? If that is the one person of the Trinity that is intended to guide us in all things on earth until Christ returns. I often talk about the Holy Spirit as the forgotten person of the Trinity, who is the most important person of the Trinity while we're here on earth, the gifts of which and the fruits of which are meant to manifest themselves in our lives by how we live, because we worship God the Holy Spirit, and let the Holy Spirit inform, guide, and lead us. You see, before the gift of the Holy Spirit, the apostles had been with Jesus for 3 years. They saw all the miracles, the raising of the dead, the curing of the blind, the leper, the lame, walking on water, calming the storms, multiplying the fish and bread. They even witnessed him risen from the dead. And Acts of the Apostles tells us they simply went back to fishing. They hid in the upper room for fear of the Jews. They had all these experiences with Jesus, physically with them, and their lives were not changed. They didn't do anything differently. It wasn't until they received the Holy Spirit that everything radically changed. At that moment, as we'll hear next week, Peter then kicks open the doors that had locked them in for fear and begins proclaiming Christ, whom you crucified, to the people that literally there said, crucify him, before Pontius Pilate. This man whom you crucified, God has risen from the dead and has chosen to be the Messiah. And if you repent of your sins and are baptized, you can be saved. And thousands were converted by that one homily. The difference? The Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, now filling Peter with courage and right judgment and wisdom and understanding and fear of the Lord, etc. These gifts that gave him power to preach with the authority of God in him, manifesting the life of God in his life by now how he would live, giving his life to Christ, ultimately being crucified for his faith, no longer afraid, no longer denying Jesus as he did on Good Friday, but instead proclaiming him to the ends of the earth unto death. That changed everything. Now, I know that we would like to have Jesus physically with us, right? Telling us, explaining to us, talking to us, guiding us, teaching us, showing us how to do these things. But God has gifted us the Holy Spirit through baptism and confirmation. And when we don't worship God the Holy Spirit, when we're not asking God the Holy Spirit to manifest his gifts in our lives, then we are lost. And there's no YouTube video for how to be a Christian. There's plenty on there you could try to look at. But everyone has a different vocation, a different gift, a different calling, a different purpose. And only God himself can reveal that to us. It's rooted in our gifts and talents. It's not going to be contrary to them. God is going to use those for his glory if we allow him. But ultimately, if we are not conscious and dutiful in our worshiping of God the Holy Spirit, all we're going to live as Christians is a life of someone who's been left again. You left me again. We all know what that experience is like if you've been abandoned by a parent or by a spouse, whether through death or through divorce or infidelity. We feel that profound abandonment. Now, what am I going to do? I've only known my life with my dad. I've never not had my dad, and now he's gone. Now, what do I do? We try to remember the good things he did and the good things he taught us and follow that example, but it's not enough. We need something more. It wasn't enough for the apostles with Jesus himself. They needed someone more. That is God, the Holy Spirit. And when we allow that gift to manifest, God to manifest himself in our life through his gifts, that is the Holy Spirit, everything changes. We're no longer in a place of mourning. Where are you, Jesus? Why have you left me again? But in a place of empowerment. Christ, you are coming back. And until then, God, the Holy Spirit, and I, we've got this. Guide me, lead me, tell me what to do. How can I serve? Let's transform this world as the apostles did, because that's your command for me. In Matthew's gospel, as you heard, rarely ever said in such a way, a reading from the conclusion of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the very end marks Jesus' ascension into heaven. And the last words to his apostles before he returns to the right hand of the Father, now body and soul, is, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." As parents, you fulfill that command when you baptize your children. Lamont over here, he's very vocal. He sounds the same as last week, but this week they are prayers because he was baptized yesterday. So mom fulfilled that command, right? But it's not just baptizing our children. It is inviting all who do not know Jesus to come to know Jesus, to teach them and show them his commandments by how we live them and how we're better because of it, how we're more human because of it, how we are more happy and free because of it. As a Catholic Church, we've done very good at teaching the faith, but we've fallen short in observing the faith by our way of life. We all know that the greatest hurt to the faith is the scandal of those who claim to be Christian, whether they're priests, bishops, religious priests, brothers, nuns, or lay faithful. When we see someone who claims to be Catholic and they live very contrary to how Jesus did, nothing is more effective at turning people away from the gospel. Well, the opposite is true. When we're living a life fueled by the Holy Spirit and filled by the Holy Spirit, nothing is more appealing to those who do not know God than to see someone living in the Spirit. I want that joy, a fruit of the Holy Spirit. I want that confidence, right? I want that courage. I need that fortitude, gifts of the Holy Spirit. How do I get that? Come, let me show you. Let me introduce you to Jesus. Come and pray. Come to our prayer group. Come to these classes on the faith. Come to taco sales. Just come and see. Lord, where are you going? Come and see. We're called to do that as Catholics. If you are not inviting others to the faith, if you're not teaching others about the faith, if you're not inspiring others in the Catholic faith, then we're still in a place of mourning. Christ is gone, and I don't know what to do. But if we have received the gift of the Holy Spirit and accepted that gift, everything changes. So yesterday, I confirmed about 27 people. One of them is, just went blank, Lamont, Jonathan, Leo, no, what's your name again? Can't hear you.
Leon.
It was Leo something, Leon. So Leon was confirmed yesterday, and he's already serving today. He came back to Mass. Yesterday counted for today, but he came back. And before I could train him, he put the vestments on. Father, I'm serving. Oh, okay, let's get going. Let's do this. Right? When we receive the Holy Spirit and we were open and receptive to God's gift, immediately, Lord, how can I serve you? What can I do to glorify you? How can I lead others to you? That's what comes out when we receive the gift. We acknowledge, we embrace it, and we're appreciative of it. Leon is doing that, right? In less than 24 hours, I pray that the others are also praying about and considering doing something similar. How can I serve? How can I make the world better? How can I give back to my community, to my parish, to my family? Go and baptize them and teach them to observe all that I have commanded you by your way of life. We're praying now for this gift of the Holy Spirit to be renewed in us if we've been confirmed, that the fire of the Holy Spirit will be rekindled in our hearts come this Sunday or Saturday night with the Feast of Pentecost. It is the birthday of the church. And there is no greater celebration for the life of the church than Pentecost. Because without God, the Holy Spirit, all we experience is that Jesus left us again. But with the Holy Spirit, we have the confidence of knowing Christ remains with us always until the end of the age, as he promised. And we manifest and show that by how we live. And when we live in a way that is rooted in the life of the Holy Spirit, our lives are attractive to others who do not know Jesus. And they want to understand and know, how are you like this? Why are you different? What makes you different? Well, I don't have all the answers, but I can tell you who. So come and see. Come and pray with me at Mass. Let me pray with you. Let me introduce you to good websites or forum.org that our parish offers, where they can get all kinds of resources to learn about the faith. Yes, many people have come into the Catholic Church thanks to videos on YouTube, but at some point they need a physical person there walking with them and showing them. And that's you, not me. That's you. And then eventually they need the gift of the sacrament of confirmation. Otherwise, right, they will be following and imitating a sinner, you and me, and we will fail them, unlike God himself. And so we're called to be the bridge that unites people with Christ so as to lead them with him through the reception of the sacraments, so that they might even inspire us to renew and rekindle our faith. As we celebrate this solemnity of the ascension of our Lord, we recognize that Christ didn't leave us. He's preparing us for a greater gift still, God the Holy Spirit, that will unite us more intimately with Jesus and the Father than ever before. So let us prepare our hearts this week so that in receiving this gift or renewing the gift in our hearts, if we've already been confirmed, we might be what we have always been called to be from the day of our baptism, just like Lamont over here. Priest, prophet, and king. Because every baptized Catholic is either a missionary disciple or simply a Christian in mourning, because they have taken my Lord and I don't know where they've put him.